First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I want to preach to us tonight out of just a little phrase there in verse 9. Called out of darkness. Called out of darkness. Amen. I believe God wants to do something in us. Let's just let his will be done. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The prophecy of Isaiah about Jesus, one of them was that he would be a light to the Gentiles. In Isaiah 42 and 7, it says, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Brother Trenton, good to see you tonight. For those of you who don't know, this is Trenton Johnson, his dad, pastor here in the area. We love them. They're friends of ours, but good to see you tonight. Amen. To bring those out of prison that sit in darkness. Many people walk through life totally unaware that they're living in spiritual darkness. They're just not even aware of the fact. They go through their daily routine not realizing that they are missing the true light of Jesus Christ. They're blinded by the darkness. They don't realize they're a prisoner in a very dark place. They just get used to it. But our text tells us tonight that we've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Is anybody thankful for that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you remember what it was like to be in darkness, to be in that prison with no hope and no joy and no peace and no light to show you the way, but Jesus called you out. Thank God he called us out of darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12 reads, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you've been walking in darkness, if you've been without life, without hope, without joy and peace, you need Jesus. Turn to somebody and tell them, you need Jesus. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. He's the light of the world. Come on, you don't have to be wandering around lost in the dark, but you can have the light of life. Amen. You need Jesus. We need Jesus to set us free. We need Jesus to bring us out of darkness. We need Jesus to give us hope and peace and light and joy. Hallelujah. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. If you will turn your back on the darkness and if you'll look to Jesus, if you're willing to start a new life with him, he will set you free. His light will shine in your life. God's power can deliver you from any prison that you've been bound in. He will give you a fresh start, a new life, but we have got to be willing to give everything to him. To leave the darkness behind, to step away from those things that have destroyed us. When we're ready like that, he will set us free. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. walk as children of light. For we were once darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. That's why we should walk as children of light. We should live as people of light. Why would anybody want to go back to the darkness? Why would anyone want to retreat from the light of Jesus Christ? To get tangled up again with all the things of sin? To leave freedom and joy and the people of the family of God? To go back to a dark prison? Why would anybody want to do that? Oh, nobody in their right mind would ever want to go back to the darkness. To go back to a dark prison, no one with a clear understanding of where the darkness leads would ever want to go in that direction. But here's the thing. The enemy is so good at blinding people to where they can't see the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world... Who's the God of this world? Satan. He's the God of this world. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. Unto them. Notice, it's the God of this world, Satan, the enemy of our soul. He blinds the minds of them that believe not. The battle goes on in the mind. The battle happens in the mind. If he can get in our mind, if he can get our mind, then he can influence our life. We can't give any space to the devil. We cannot allow him to take residence in our minds. We've got to keep our minds full of the Word of God so that there's no room for the lies of the devil. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight that no doubt the enemy has tried to put his lies in your mind. He has tried to convince you that his lies are true. You've got to get on the Word of God and say, I'm going to believe God's Word. I'm not believing the lies of the enemy, but I'm going to believe what's true, and I'm going to stand on the promises of God. Hallelujah. If you're not reading the Bible, if you're not reading your Bible and studying the Word of God, then no doubt the enemy is able to tell you lies and you don't know the difference from the truth. But when you know the Word of God, when it's hidden in your heart, and the enemy comes to you with the voice of fear and doubt and unbelief, you can just go right back to the Word of God and say, no, that's not what God's Word says. That's not the truth. That's not what I believe. That's not what I'm controlled by. Come on, somebody, you need to get your sword out and you need to say, I'm not taking it anymore, but I'm going to stand on the truth of God's Word. I'm going to believe the truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But here's what's so scary about all of this. Many who have been called out of darkness, those who've been brought out of prison, they've been set free from the world, delivered from sin, many are unaware that the darkness has not given up. We've been brought out, but darkness is still reaching. And sometimes because people have grown complacent, maybe they refuse to acknowledge it because they're afraid. But the darkness of this world catches them by surprise. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul didn't say here that spiritual warfare is an option, that you can take it or leave it. He didn't just say that, well, just the pastor is going to go through spiritual warfare, or just the prayer team is going to have spiritual warfare, or just the leaders in the church. He didn't say that this war with darkness is something that we can choose whether we want it or not. He simply announced the fact that we are in a war. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The fact is tonight, the experienced church, I want you to know, we are at war. We are in a spiritual battle. If we're ignorant of this, if we're not aware of this, if our head is in the sand and we're just trying to go along, skipping through the tulips, I want to tell you we're already losing the battle then. Darkness has already overtaken us, but we've got to be wise tonight. We've got to realize we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Come on, everybody say that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. A lot of times we forget this. We get to thinking that we're just fighting a natural battle. You know, that person doesn't like me. It's just part of life, we think. Or they're just hard to get along with. Or maybe it's, well, I just don't fit in with that group. We've got to be reminded, we're not supposed to fit in with the world. We're not supposed to feel comfortable with those who are in darkness. There's a reason why some people don't like us. There's a reason why they treat us the way that they do. There's a reason why some people are hateful toward the people of God. It's not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. Not everybody you meet is going to have something inside them that likes what's inside of you. There's going to be those that what's inside of them does not like what's inside of you. And they don't even realize why they're being rude. They don't even know why they don't like you. They don't even know why they cut you off and flip you off in traffic, okay? But they hate you so bad. It's because of what's inside them, and what's inside you are from two different worlds. Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The first step in winning this war is to realize that we do not war after the flesh. We're not waging war in the natural. This is spiritual. If we're not aware of this, then we'll be caught off guard by the surprise attack of the enemy. And that is why people are defeated by darkness, because they're busy taking care of everything in the natural, getting a good job and paying the bills and taking care of kids and interacting socially and all of those things. But then when their family is attacked, they're completely surprised. When their marriage suffers, they're totally unprepared for the spiritual attack. When they come up against anxiety and fear and depression, they're just convinced they're going crazy. Instead of realizing that it's spiritual. That doesn't mean everything is spiritual, but I think sometimes we need our eyes open to the fact there are spiritual battles going on. And sometimes we're thinking this is just natural. This is just the world. This is just everything I'm going through in life. No, it could be you are in a spiritual battle. The sad thing is sometimes the world believes more in the power of the demonic than the church does. Oh, Pastor, you know, we don't want you to preach about all that spiritual stuff. Let's not get carried away now, Pastor. And then when the spiritual battle takes them out, they don't even know what hit them. Church, I'm not just preaching this because I like to hear the sound of my voice. I'm preaching this because there's a war going on. There's a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't war after the flesh, but against principalities, against powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Somebody needs to get serious here tonight because there's a real enemy that's trying to take you out. And you've got to realize, I can't fight this with a natural warfare. I've got to get in the Word of God. I've got to get in the Spirit. I've got to have the Lord's help. I've got to have wisdom, spiritual wisdom, in order to get through this. Study the downfall of Israel in the Old Testament. It coincided, Israel's downfall coincided with the growing popularity of the occult. Idolatry, witchcraft, astrology, soothsaying, mediums. When they opened the door to those things, when Israel opened the door, it gave demons power over them, and God judged them for it. Even the first king of Israel, Saul, spent his last night on earth consulting with a witch. The thing is, we're seeing history repeat itself. Our modern society is embracing the occult. There's a growing acceptance of witchcraft and demonic practices. It's creeping into everyday life. It's in every form of entertainment today. All of the leading music stars are operating in witchcraft. Pastor Shirley, no, not whoever. Yeah. Most of them have sold their souls in some respect for popularity and money. Don't think it's not coming through their music. Hollywood, it's long gone. I heard a lady interviewed a few weeks ago that talked about being hired as a screenwriter because she had a background in witchcraft, and she could write literal spells and chants that could be incorporated into TV shows and movies, and they were real. Oh, it's just Disney. You don't think they researched that? You don't think they have an agenda? Darkness is everywhere. And if we're not careful, we'll get numb to it. And it will creep into the church as well. A recent research study found that a large and growing percentage of Americans believe in reincarnation, astrology, psychics, and the presence of spirits in nature. In fact, more than 6 out of 10 Americans accept at least one or more of these beliefs. 6 out of 10. Even agnostics are now adopting occult ideas, calling themselves spiritual but not religious. Another study found that Wicca is one of the fastest growing religions in the country. It's estimated that as many as 1.5 million Americans now identify as Wiccan or pagan. Now, these witches are not what you might think of, with black cats and pointy hats and broomsticks and stirring cauldrons. It's more tarot cards, crystals, spell books, and the worship of nature. Hollywood has romanticized witchcraft, and with Christianity failing in our nation, many are looking for something that's has real spirituality. They're looking for spiritual power, something that connects them to power from beyond this world. And so they fall into the trap of witchcraft and the occult. And while some are just dabbling with spell books and crystals, at the root of it is serious devil worship and sacrifice of animals and even human beings. We personally know a girl who was, as a baby, she was set to be a human sacrifice, but God delivered her. She was adopted by an apostolic family in Texas. We knew her there, and now she lives for God. Don't think it's not happening. Why is it that every October 31st we feel spiritual pressure? Every year at this time, there's more people than ever who feel like giving up, quitting the ministry they're involved in, families under attack, people depressed, not wanting to come to church, wanting to give up on holiness, struggling with doing the things of the world, people not wanting to pray and seek God. This is the time we need to be praying more than ever. We've got to refuse to let this attack win against God's church. God has given us power over this. We don't need to take a back seat. Amen. We don't need to say, well, I'm just going to let the devil have this season. No, I believe it's time to push. I believe it's time to pray. I believe it's time to believe God for victory. Come on, there needs to be something that rises up in you that says, no, I'm not going to let the enemy win in my life during this season, but I'm going to go to another level. I'm going to go to another mountaintop. I'm going to let God bring me to a new dimension in prayer and in the anointing of God. Come on, that battle that you're facing, that attack from the enemy, that depression and that fear, it's meant to hold you back. But I believe there's an open door that somebody needs to walk forward. You need to go through it in faith and say, this is my season for a victory like I've never had before. This is the time I'm going to have a breakthrough in the spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus sent out 70 disciples two by two to every city and place that he would go to. We read in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But we have to be aware. We have to be prepared. We have to be praying and in tune with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Where did Halloween come from anyway? It goes back to a pagan harvest festival in Ireland known as Samhain. This festival was adopted by the Romans and later the Catholic Church, who named November 1st as All Saints' Day in honor of deceased saints. All Saints' Day was also called All Hallows' Day, and of course the night before was considered All Hallows' Eve, from which came the word Halloween. Immigrants from Ireland and Scotland then brought many of these Halloween customs to North America, and they spread around the world in the 20th century. Popular Halloween activities include trick-or-treating, which started long ago as kids would go from house to house with scary masks or painted faces, threatening to do mischief if they were not welcomed. That later changed to trick-or-treating, where there's a request for candy, and sometimes it's still with the implication that if they don't get candy, well, they're going to have a trick or prank to play. Other Halloween activities, carving pumpkins into jack-o'-lanterns, which stems from the practice of warding off evil spirits, visiting haunted attractions, telling scary stories, and watching horror movies. Some religious groups will light candles and place them on graves and pray for the dead, which goes back to the All Saints Day practices. I recently read the account of Jenny Weaver, an ex-witch, who says that Halloween is Satan's playground and a pagan holiday when witches and warlocks devote extra time to practicing witchcraft to access the demonic realm. They do this because they believe that the veil that separates the demonic realm from the earthly realm is thinner than usual, making the ability for those practicing witchcraft to have more access. On October 31st, she said, witches everywhere will be on high alert, all awake, all practicing their craft, casting spells. When you look beyond God and you go to another source, you open yourself up to the demonic realm. Now, I know different churches do different things at this time of year. But as a pastor, I am not comfortable doing trunk or treat. That's just, I'm not comfortable doing something that's so close to trick-or-treating. We'll do fall parties and hay rides and, you know, things like that, but we're not going to do a church Halloween party. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We've been called out of darkness. We don't need to go back to it and fellowship with it. We don't need to allow the works of darkness in our life or in the church, but rather we reprove them. We expose them for what they are. Now, Pastor, have you ever been trick-or-treating? Yeah, we didn't know any better. My dad was a pastor, and you know, now we'd have a church fellowship, and we'd dress up as Paul or Peter or something, but then, you know, I'd get something, go with my friends. I wouldn't dress up like a, you know, ghost or something, but I'd dress up as, I don't know, whatever. I didn't know any better. I know better now. Last year we did something special on October 31st. We had church. And what a great service. What a great time we had. For years I can just remember feeling such a struggle during the week of Halloween. And last year I believe that God led us to just not let the kingdom of darkness push all at once without us pushing back. So this year we're having revival, the Encounter Conference. And I pray that we'll all make a special effort to be at those services. Wednesday night's prayer, Thursday night is going to be revival, Friday night revival, nothing on Saturday. We're going to take a break Saturday, and then Sunday revival. We're not going to fellowship with the works of darkness, but we're going to let Jesus have his way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm closing here. So how do we deal with darkness when it comes in our life? Do we ignore it? Hope it goes away? Do we throw up our hands and surrender and let the enemy steal our joy, our victory, our salvation, our family? Or do we stand our ground? Amen. We're going to stand our ground. Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, somebody, you need to realize you've got to be strong in the Lord. How do we become strong in the Lord? What does a soldier do first? They go through basic training. They go through basic training to build up their strength. Oh, you can have the best weapons. You can have the best armor. But if you don't have the strength to use those weapons, you're not going to be effective on the battlefield. Sometimes we wonder why we go through things. It's because we're a soldier. It's because we're going through basic training. We're having to learn how to stand. We're having to learn how to trust God. We've got to learn how to not lean to our own understanding. But how do we stand on the word of God? How do we pray? We may not have everything all together, but we're in basic training today, and we're learning some things. Oh, I want to tell you, I can remember some days of basic training, not in the Army, not in the Air Force, but in the Army of the Lord. Oh, those basic training days were not that much fun. I don't want to go back and experience them all over again. But here's the thing. God taught us some things. He knocked off some rough edges, and he proved us through some battles. And I stand here today so very thankful for basic training, because we'd never be able to carry the load we're carrying now if we hadn't carried the load back then. Come on, somebody, if you're going through it, I want to tell you, you can make it. You can make it. I know it's a battle. I know it's rough. I know that there's heartache, and I know it's not easy. We're being stretched. We're being strengthened. We're being developed for what God has for us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, somebody, realize you're not just a weakling on the battlefield, but God has given you power to exercise against the enemy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand in closing with me here today? Ask God to give you his armor. Ask him to let your loins be girt about with truth, to give you the breastplate of righteousness. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to take the shield of faith, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What do you do when a fiery dart comes at you? I had something happen, I don't know, a couple years ago, and it got me. I was like, man, I was upset. And talked to my wife. I've got a good wife. I appreciate her so much. And she told me some things I didn't want to hear. She said, "Honey, this is a fiery dart. You don't need to let it get you." I didn't want to hear it right then. I wanted to tell somebody what I thought. But then all of a sudden I realized she's right. When something hits you and you're like, it's a fiery dart. It's meant to distract you. We need the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We need the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And don't forget the last part. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We need to ask God for his armor every single day. we don't, we're not prepared for this battle with darkness. If we don't, we're not protected. If we don't, we're not ready for war. If we're going to fight against darkness, we've got to have his armor. We've got to stand strong in the power of his might. I've come to remind somebody here tonight, God's called you out of darkness. He's called you out of sin, out of the prison of this world. Don't let the enemy tempt you to go back in. Don't let him show you a picture of how wonderful it would be. That picture is a lie from the pit of hell. We're called to walk in the light, not in darkness. Don't allow darkness to take you by surprise. Stay in the light. Don't try to mix darkness with light. That's compromise. A little of the world, a little of the church. No, we're called out of the world. Let's leave the stuff of the world behind and let's embrace everything God has for us in his church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just one more passage of scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. How could someone do this? Certainly by marrying an unbeliever. That's not the will of God. You're joining together with someone who's an unbeliever. But being unequally yoked can also mean more than just marriage. It can mean any way where we let the world influence our thinking. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed. We're to be joining together with other believers, not unbelievers. It's all about influence. Are we influencing those around us, or are they influencing us? We've got to be influencing our world around us. God called us out of darkness. What communion hath light with darkness? What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? We're the temple of God. His Spirit dwells with us. We should not allow darkness to profane the temple of God. There's things we don't do as the temple of God. There's places we don't go as the temple of God. Because we're not our own. We've been bought with the price, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're trying to do what's pleasing unto him. Amen. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. I want to challenge you today. Be willing to stand out in the darkness. Be willing to let your light shine. Be willing to let God use you to be a light in that dark world. Somebody's in a prison of darkness and they don't know where to look. But if you can have that light of truth, you can be hope to them. You can be peace to them. You can be joy to them. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and say, God, help me. Help me, Lord, to live the way you want me to live. God, I pray that you give me the strength to stand no matter what this is that I'm facing, no matter the spiritual battle. Oh, come on. Is there somebody you'd like to come to the altar today and say, I just want to get closer to God. I just want to get closer to him. I want to reach out and let God touch me and let God minister to me today. Come on. You've been called out of darkness. You've been called out of this world. You've been called to be an example. You've been called to be used by God. Let God work through you. Let God separate you from the things of this world. Let God set you up for a great work through you.